There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Are we happier not using smartphones? Difficult one for you to answer if you haven't tried it before. Can you go without using your smartphone? Have you ever left the house in the morning, realised that you don't have your smartphone with you, your phone on you? Does that mean that you turn back to go to pick it up? Or can you survive throughout a day without it? If that's the case, how about 10 months? Well, television producer and reality TV show judge Simon Cowell hasn't apparently used his mobile phone in almost a year, and he says it's made him a lot happier. In an interview with the Daily Mail, Cowell said he used to get irritated when he had a meeting and everyone was on their phone. So with that in mind, asking you, we're becoming more addicted to our smartphones. What is the answer to that? Is this an age thing as well? As 50% of teens feel they are addicted to their mobile devices. Are the younger generations, the digital natives out there, more at risk of addiction, or is it something that you're seeing across the board? And have you ever done a phone detox, or do you know someone who's done one? Have you seen a change in their character? Is it something that should be prescribed to us all? This is The Agenda, live here on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Get involved and help set the agenda only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Good to have you with us this morning. Welcome yet again. My name's Tom Urquhart. Get in touch with me on Twitter if you like, at Tom Urquhart. That's U-R-Q-U-H-A-R-T. Or use the station handle as well, at DubaiEye1038FM. Or hashtag DubaiEye1038. Shruti, our producer, is out there. We've got Milani out there. Malcolm Taylor's still out there at the moment. Everyone's still around and about. Hanan's made her way here into studio, though, alongside me. Good morning again to you.
Good morning.
Mobile phones. Do you ever fear that you or your loved ones are addicted to them?
Oh, yes, a little bit. Actually, about a couple of years ago, I did find that I was on my phone quite a lot. And it's social media really... I don't know, all these WhatsApp groups and everything started to take over a little bit. So since then, I've tried to cut down because, you know, it can literally invade your life. You're literally having dinner, bleep, 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 bleep. So now I've started, I put it away. If I go out for lunch or dinner with someone, I always keep my phone in my bag. But bedtime's bad, isn't it? Because you sort of check your phone before bedtime. I'm not sure that's a good thing either. That sort of keeps you awake. And all these videos that you haven't even clicked on Facebook, for example, they play. So it just, you know, it's sort of, it's just, yeah, it takes over. Nah, I'm not keen.
Your thoughts on this one, as always, are appreciated. We're encouraging you to have your say. Why are we having this conversation today? This is nothing new. This is a conversation that we've had in the past. This is something that is not going to go away. So maybe we just accept it as part of the modern lives we leave. We're having this conversation because of a certain Simon Cowell. He is a man who needs little introduction. The TV producer, the reality TV show judge, who's had huge success in recent years. He's admitted rather frankly to a newspaper journalist that he hasn't used his mobile phone in almost a year. Look, I get this, and I'm glad that we've, you know, it's prompted this conversation, but I've got to say, I mean, that's because he can.
Yeah, I agree.
The multimillionaire Simon Cowell hasn't answered his phone in 10 years, but I'm sure one of his lackeys have.
Yeah, he's very easily contactable, surely, if he's got all these employees around him and staff. And really not use the phone at all, I'm sure. What, not use the phone to call a loved one or message a loved one? I mean, I don't know. I'm not convinced.
In this interview that he gave, he said he used to get irritated when he had a meeting and everyone was on their phone. He's one of the latest people to draw attention to unplugging from cell phones as a way to improve mood, health and cut down on distractions. So have you ever unplugged or seen the need to unplug? In a 2017 survey by Deloitte, 47% of smartphone users in the United States have tried to limit their phone usage. Turning off notifications are a great way to keep the phone out of sight, but only 30% of smartphone owners have succeeded in reducing their phone time. In 2018, 66% of individuals in 52 key countries own a smartphone, up from 63% in 2017 and 58% in 2016. Closer to home, the TRA, the Telecommunications Regulatory Authority, say that mobile phone usage in the UAE increased to 228.3 phones per 100 people in the first quarter of 2017. So that's more than two phones per person out there on average. Another TRA report reveals that during the period between the 1st of April 2017 and 30th of June 2017, 81.5% of handsets registered on the UA's networks were smartphones. There are so many ways that this story can go. Obviously, asking for your thoughts on Simon Cowell and his groundbreaking decision not to pick up or use his phone for the last 10 months. Easy, possibly, for him to do that. But also the way that our usage of phones has impacted in our day-to-day life. I'm sure there are a number of people out there on the roads of the UAE this morning who will look to the left, look to the right as we speak now and see people on their mobile phones, checking their mobile phones, breaking the law fundamentally because it is something that is not allowed on the roads of the UAE. But again, why is this? Why do we feel this urge? Why can we not just drive from A to B without checking our phones, without updating our social media, without checking that WhatsApp?
Yeah, I know, it's terrible. I don't know. I use my phone for sort of Google Maps and stuff, so you know, I'm not using it to text, but then a text might bleep up, and of course it's naturally to distract you, you know. But a lot of people are starting to put their phones in glove compartments and turn them off and hide them in their bags so they can't use them, because it is dangerous. And I can't understand people videoing and uploading things to Facebook and things like that when they're driving. I mean, that's crazy dangerous.
Socially, we're asking you why we are becoming more and more dependent and addicted to our smartphones. We've all seen those scenes, haven't we? We're out and about dining at a restaurant or elsewhere, and you see an entire family just focusing on their individual screens. And look, I'm going to put my hands up here. You know, I live in a household where I have three children, all of whom have varying addictions to varying size screens at the moment. From my youngest, who is just an advocate of all things YouTube, and is constantly looking at YouTube videos, be it from how to make slime and glue to how to organize your cupboards to how to clean a hamster cage or whatever. The one side of it gets me because it's the way that she consumes that media is it's a lengthy process. At the other time, I suppose there's an element of creativity there mixed in with the nonsense as well.
And arguably educational if they're learning things like
wait and see.
Useful things.
I've got a 13-year-old who is addicted to box sets and series and watching it on laptops at her own pace and things like that. We've had that sort of discussion about 13 Reasons Why in recent weeks. I can't remember what her latest one is, but oh, Love Island. She's addicted to Love Island, you know. And so she needs to be up to date with what's going on and all the sort of the banter that's going around. A fascinating insight when I was chatting with her earlier on today. She was saying, you know, she'd love to be one of those 85,000 people that had applied to get onto this island. But the one thing that she couldn't cope with was giving up her mobile phone for 6 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And she can't understand how all the contestants on that island have to give up their mobile phone for 6 weeks and have no connection with the outside world. That's the biggest stumbling block for her. And then I've got the little lad in the middle as well, the 11-year-old, who is addicted to all things Fortnite at the moment, which is this new gaming sensation where you interact with mates and groups, etc., on a shoot 'em up game, which is just taking the world by storm. So you walk into the house and you feel like there's no one there until you hear the dip, 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 dip. Well, you can't hear it because they're all on headphones anyway. And you look around and you see three bodies in different sort of areas of the house watching different sizing screens. And yet the huge TV screen on the wall never gets used these days.
By you, maybe.
Never gets used. So, are we becoming more addicted? Is it an age thing? Is it a generational thing? And what can be done about it? Thoughts, please, now. Get involved in the conversation. I'd love to hear your experiences, your thoughts, and your solutions by texting them through to us. Now, we'll be looking at a couple of the TRA reports that are coming out in the back of this one as well. This is the Telecommunications Regulatory Authority revealing that during the period between the 1st of April 2017, so April the 1st last year, and the 30th of June in the same year, 81.5% of handsets registered on the UA's networks were smartphones. The 2015 GSMA report reveals that by 2020 there will be 327 million smartphone connections across the Arab states, accounting for around two-thirds of total connection base. All these figures are pointing in one direction. We cannot get away from the fact that smartphones are here. They are here to stay. They are very much a part of our lives already and presently, and they will continue to be so. So does it make any point when Tom on the Agenda and other media outlets the world over rail against smartphone addiction? It's something we've got to get used to.
Yeah, I think smartphone addiction is something that's always a topic of conversation. And I think the main difference is that these days kids are brought up with these phones and they're naturally sort of inclined to use them and stuff. So I think it's so different to how we were brought up when we were young, because they weren't there. You can't get away from it. I think there's so many things. For example, when I go on holiday, I want to put my phone away so I can relax. But it's got my camera on it and I want to use my camera. And, you know, it's just there's so many different things that are brilliant on these phones. You just get addicted. You've got your email, you've got your phone, you've got your WhatsApp. But I think that there's a line where it becomes invasive, and these like I love my WhatsApp groups, you know, with my friends and stuff. But there is a line. Sometimes they become invasive because they go on and on.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, and that's one I want to throw out there to those that are willing to accept that they are addicted to their smartphones, but also parents out there that are concerned about their children, the amount of time they're spending on their phones, or equally it might be your partner. I mean, come on, let's get real. This is, you know, we might want to point the finger at teenagers and youngsters and the amount of time they spend on tablets and smartphones and screens. But what about your partner, your wife, your husband, your brother, your sister? Can you point the finger at them? Have they changed? I mean, I've certainly seen changes in habits within our household in terms of the amount of time that is spent on phone. And I think a lot of this has to do, and again, this is just me coming up with some weird little theory on the whole thing, but it has a lot to do with the fact that smartphones are getting smarter. And I know that doesn't sound very smart in the first place, but times were, and not that long ago, that if you wanted to play a video game, if you wanted a game, you went to a console and you sat in front of a console and you did that there. If you wanted to watch a box set, you sat in front of a TV or a DVD player or whatever and watched it there. Now, everything is done from your smartphone.
Yeah.
So whether you're gaming, whether you are watching a TV series, whether you are begorra talking to your family on the phone or something, it's all done through a smaller screen and a smaller device.
Yeah, music, camera, you know, getting in touch
lights,
with people.
Action.
No, but it's everything, isn't it? But what about you? Because you're not a massive phone user in a way, are you? Well, you're not a social media person.
I'm not a digital native, so therefore, I still enjoy sitting in front of a television. As I see, that's my sort of time, if you like. So I still don't have emails coming through to my phone because, you know, I like
not
to
not at all.
No.
That's why you never respond to us.
Because I don't. I like to set time aside during a day to do my emails. And I know, and I've seen this with friends and family and those that have their emails coming. And a lot of work demands that you have emails coming through to your phone. And I see that that becomes a burden because you can't help but respond and reply to them in case you forget about it or it's the background. You want to be seen to be being proactive. So that's why I like to do my emails in the morning or do my emails in the evening or do my emails when my day enables that rather than then.
No, it's a good idea and then you can keep a balance. But does that mean so you have to go to a laptop then for your emails?
I do my emails on a laptop.
And so do you check like morning and evening? Because
not necessarily.
Oh, so it's 24 hours. This does explain why you don't respond to us, huh?
Well, there's another reason for that as well, specifically for you. Let's go to the lines now. I want to go down to line number 8. There it is. And we're going to go down to the road towards Abu Dhabi. Holmesy joins us live on the line. Morning to you, Holmesy.
Morning, Tom. Morning, Helen. How are you?
All very well indeed this end. Are we becoming more and more addicted to our mobile phones, our smartphones, our devices? Tell me more.
Yeah, I think everyone, it's just become a habit, isn't it? I suppose everyone just thinks, I've got to be on my phone, got to see what's happening, being nosy, you know, find out what's going on Facebook, find out what's going on social media. I think it's just, everyone just gets into the habit, and I think they're aimlessly looking into their phones, really, aren't they?
Is it habit? Is it habit, or is it necessary evil?
I mean, people are taking it. I mean, you look at the stuff that's on the social media. I mean, you're just reading stuff, and it's, you know, this is what I had for dinner, and I'm now at a terminal, or I'm at a lounge, I'm going to such and such. It just becomes a habit and people taking in that information. There's nothing really that interesting all the time. It's just become...
Sorry. I was just going to say, have you ever had a detox? A phone detox?
I try and do it on a daily basis, really. I mean, you know, funnily enough, I'm listening, because I haven't got a great signal in Abu Dhabi, I'm actually listening to the show on the phone.
So you're a big phone user for everything?
Well, no, because I couldn't get the signal, so...
Signal
wasn't very good.
And
put it on the phone.
And what's your balance then? You said that you detox every day.
Well, I'll have a look at it in the morning, and then I'll have a look at it in the evening. You know, I won't go on Facebook, you know, or, you know, if I've got 10 minutes to kill, I'll do something a little bit more constructive than looking at social media, really.
But I wonder whether that, because I think you've just answered my question there, Holmesy, which is this whole convenience thing, because you can't get onto the radio at the moment because of connection, so therefore you can guarantee that you can get it on your phone as well. And the fact that that is readily available, you can listen to the cricket commentary on there, or you can do your game, you can do whatever. We are being marketed towards our smartphones, aren't we? They take over more control.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I think, you know, you said it the other day, I think when people go out, you'll be sitting there, and then there'll be four people in the group, and three people will be on the phone. But I think the phone's taken over from other acts of social media, though. I mean, we used to sit there and read the paper, didn't we? Or used to sit there and, you know, read a magazine. I mean, it's all online now, so I suppose you can say, you know, you're looking at your phone, but I could be reading an article on something.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily bad use of the phone. I think people just perceive that, you know, you're just looking at Facebook, or you're looking at social media, or you're on Twitter. You know, you could be doing something constructive. You could be reading your email. So it's not necessarily a bad tool. I suppose you having the phone that you can check your emails and be out, you can do more things with your family. You can actually go away. Otherwise, you'd be tied to your chair in the office. So, I mean, it has its benefits, doesn't it? I suppose you can look at it that way.
Indeed it does. Holmesy, safe journey down to Abu Dhabi. Thanks so much indeed for your contribution this morning. Holmesy giving us a call on 04 423 1010. You can do the same there. You can also get in touch on 4001. If you'd like to do so anonymously, then feel free to do so. Are you concerned about loved ones, the amount of time that they're spending on their smartphones and mobile devices? Have you seen a change in their character as a result? If so, then feel free to get in touch with your thoughts and your experiences. Or we're still on the search for anybody out there who's done a digital or a phone detox, much like Simon Cowell claims to be doing as well. That's the multimillionaire Simon Cowell. If you've done something similar, then we'd love to hear from you.
We've got a lot of people texting in on this one. Yeah. We've got, you cannot avoid mobile phones. That's from an anonymous person. Ian says, well done to Simon. Another one, Nadir says, it's a fact of life today. So there's a lot of people saying this. And Nadir also says, it's not an addiction, it's a need.
Thanks so much indeed for those 4 and a 0 and a 0 1. If you're sending a text this morning, there are plenty coming through to us. This off the back of the story that a certain Simon Cowell, a man who needs little introduction, has told how giving up his mobile phone for 10 months has improved his mental health. The Britain's Got Talent judge said he cut his phone out of his life after becoming too distracted by it. Despite it being a strange experience, Carl said, it had absolutely made me happier. I literally have not been on my phone for 10 months, he told a journalist at the Mail on Sunday. It's been so good for my mental health. It's a very strange experience, but it really is good for you, and it has absolutely made me happier. Last year, Deloitte survey found 55% of people with mobile phones check their devices within 15 minutes of waking up. Guilty. 41% of respondents said that they felt their partners used their phones too much. Guilty. Elton John, Sarah Jessica Parker are among other celebrities to have ditched their mobiles. All good and well that celebrities are ditching them, but is that unrealistic for us when more and more of us are being asked to spend more and more times on our smartphones? And what detriment is that having to our health? Well, let's talk now to Dr. Kieran Fiona Hillier, who joins us live from the LifeWorks Foundation here in the UAE. Dr. Kieran, thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with that sort of the comment. I mean, it's all good and well that this problem is getting prominence in the media at the moment, but is there a difference between celebrities saying, oh, I haven't touched my phone, not to say that one of my staff might have done that for me, as opposed to us trying to get from A to B and your normal Joes on a daily basis, when marketing is sort of driving us more towards our mobile phones?
Yeah, I think you make a very good point as to, if Simon Cowell is not using his phone, then does he have somebody else doing a lot of that work for him? So he might have the money and the resources and the facilities and the people to be able to facilitate that for him. Because you're right, the use of smartphones now is just It's embedded in almost every activity that we do. And so for some people, it's an essential component of the work that they carry out or the activities that they do. I do a lot of theatre, for example, here in Dubai, and a lot of our correspondence in terms of rehearsals, getting costumes, finalising everything is done over WhatsApp groups. So for us, it's really beneficial. The distinction, you also make that good point, is the distinction is between whether it is facilitating your day-to-day activities or whether it is impeding that.
I think you make a really interesting point there about the WhatsApp group, the scourge of the WhatsApp group at the moment. They are very beneficial, as you say. But, you know, I've been included in a couple of WhatsApp groups recently where I've woken up the next day to find 168 messages in there. And I've sort of questioned myself, do I need to know these comments from everybody else? Is it impacting my life in any way, being a part of that group?
I mean, you can set about, what's great about WhatsApp is that you can modify your notifications for certain groups. I am also in groups like that where I will wake up and there will be 200 messages. And you can go to settings and you can turn off notifications for that particular group. So I might open it once just to pass through those 100 messages. Or if you really don't think it's that beneficial for you, you can opt out of those groups. And that's very much a personal choice for some people. That group might be an important social support that they have, and so they like that contact. And that then brings up the interesting distinction between these virtual relationships that we have and the face-to-face relationships. And certainly there's a lot of research that shows those face-to-face interactions are more beneficial for our health. And we've been designed to have face-to-face interactions. That's the way that our biology works. And we're good at picking up on social cues, tone of voice, body language, and you miss out on all of that in these virtual relationships. I mean, the appeal of these virtual relationships is they're often less messy and they're less demanding compared to these face-to-face relationships. But if you find yourself neglecting your face-to-face relationships with your friends, your family, your co-workers because you're so engrossed in these virtual relationships, then that's another indication that it might be becoming problematic for you.
Obviously, looking at the figures and that they seem to be stacking up at the moment, I've got a poll in front of me conducted by Common Sense Media suggesting 50% of teens feel they are addicted to their mobile devices. This is not limited to digital natives and teenagers these days. We are seeing those of all ages becoming addicted to their devices. So if mobile phone or smartphone addiction is something that is on the rise at the moment, and given the fact that addicts don't like to admit to themselves that they are an addict or don't think they are an addict, is there any way that you can test to see if you do have a cell phone addiction?
There's a couple of different components. So if I am working with somebody, then there's sort of four primary symptoms, indicators that I'm looking out for that it might be problematic for someone. The first one is that if it preoccupies your mind, if you are distracted by thoughts around your use of your smartphone. You're thinking about, have I missed some information that's come out on Facebook? Is there a new message that I've received in the group that I haven't read yet? And that's distracting you and you're unable to focus on maybe what you're meant to be doing at that particular time. So that first one is if you're preoccupied and you're distracted by it. The second one is if you are anxious, if you can't get access to your phone. So if you're noticing that the battery is hitting 12%, 7%, and you're worried, oh, my phone is about to die and then I'm not going to have access to the people and the apps and everything. Or if you've lost your phone or if you are physically separated from your phone, that creates a sense of anxiety or dread for you. There's been other surveys that show most of the time people are no more than 5 feet away from their phone. And for some people, being away from their phone, if they don't have access to it, they might find it a little bit frustrating, but they're not anxious or they're not fearful about it. But if you are anxious about it, then that's another sign. The third one is that you dedicate time overly dedicate time to that activity, to the neglect of other activities in your life. So if you're not socializing as much face-to-face with people, if you're finding yourself on your phone when you should be focused at work, or when you are driving, there's a huge problem with people texting or being on their phones when they're driving, or if you're neglecting chores around the house because you're sitting looking at your phone, so it starts to interfere with what you with your actual productivity during the rest of the day, then that's a problem. And then I guess the fourth component that we look at is the what function does that serve for the individual. Does it alleviate, for example, a sense of boredom or a sense of loneliness or depression or anxiety for that person? Or does it make them feel more connected with the people around them? What do people actually get out of that phone use? There's also some nice little quizzes online that people can take if they are interested in looking at it for themselves. So the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction came out with a smartphone compulsion test a couple of years ago, and that's got 15 items. People can do that for free. I have it in front of me right now. And then you can complete those questions. It's all a series of yes or no questions, and it'll tell you if a higher score, so if there's 15 items, if you're scoring yes to more than five of those items, then it's suggesting your cell phone use, your smartphone use, could be problematic for you.
Hi, Dr. Kieran. And that's some interesting advice there and indicators of how you can tell whether you're potentially addicted. And obviously talking about addiction, but what is the best way of balancing it? Because, you know, some people, obviously, you do rely on it for work or to get in touch with family members, and you do need to be accessible. What sort of amount of time a day do you think you should spend on your phone? What's acceptable?
Well, there's no hard and fast rules about an acceptable amount of time for each individual, because you're right, for some people it's an important element of work that they're doing or hobbies that they engage in. There's some really nice apps out there like Space or Moment, and they can help you monitor your own phone use. So it'll tell you how much time you're spending on your phone, how many times you unlock it. It can tell you how much time you're spending on particular apps. And often for people, that's the first step, understanding, getting that awareness about how much time am I actually on my phone. Research suggests a lot of people are on their phones between 2 to 5 hours a day. And so if for that person we have a discussion around, is this actually a problem for you? And if they don't think it is, then and no one else around them thinks it is, and I, the professional, don't think that it's a problem for them, then it's I'm not going to impose an arbitrary number of hours that they should be on their phone. But if you think it's becoming a problem for you, then one, there's a couple of things that you can do. The first one is around setting goals for when you want to use your smartphone. So do you want to say that there's, okay, after 8 p.m., for example, I'm not going to look at my phone anymore, or I'm only going to look at it for 1 hour a day, and that way you can monitor it with these apps. You might turn your phone off at certain times of the day. You made the point, Hanan, about when you're traveling that, you know, ideally you don't want to have your phone on you, but your camera is there and everything else is there. I often have my phone on airplane mode when I am traveling so that I can still use the other pieces of technology on my phone, like my camera, but I'm still not able to be reached by anybody. And then if you want, you can turn it back on in order to access Wi-Fi, so you can check on emails maybe once a day. So you can do things like that. Not bringing your phone or your tablet to bed, or for it to be within arm's reach of you at in bed. So I know that's something that my husband likes to impose, so neither of us have our phones in our bedroom when we go to sleep. Sorry, I think it might have dropped out there. And I guess other elements is looking at what is it that the use of the smartphone is gaining for you. If for you it's about those social interactions, then are there other activities you could be doing that's still going to get you that social interaction but doesn't require you to be on your phone? And I guess another one is removing certain apps on your phone. I've had clients and I've just said, look, I would advise you to just take Instagram off your phone or take Facebook off your phone. Facebook is particularly addictive. It sucks you in. Twitter and things like that. So identifying the problematic apps on your phone and deleting those.
Karen, just one that's come through from a listener out there, and I'm just going to post it to you before we wrap things up here.
Sure.
The listener is asked to remain anonymous, so respecting that, says, my husband is on his phone all the time. When I come and sit and have a conversation, he just can't put it down. In fact, the conversation only consists of looking at this video or that video that he shows me all the time. When his mother, sister, kids come over, he just sits looking at his phone. I fear he's missing so much, and I fear he has already lost so much. Are we seeing more and more smartphone sabotaging relationships?
Yeah, I think it's an easy out for people. Often the smartphone use itself is not a problem. It's more that it's indicative of an underlying problem. It's a symptom of something that people are going through. So for that particular listener, if she wanted to look into that with her husband, I guess the sort of questions that we'd be asking is, why is he, what is he getting out of it? What does he find so engaging about the phone that he is willing to neglect time with his family, time doing other things? Because that is important. Does it suggest an underlying, and I certainly don't want to overly concern the listener, but is it that he's bored? Is it that he's feeling anxious about something? Is he feeling stressed about something? Because it's a very easily accessible coping strategy for people to just distract themselves with whatever is available on their phone. So that's, I guess, the angle that I tend to look at it when I am seeing relationships either between couples or teenagers and their parents. A lot of parents are concerned about how much their children use their phones. Because in order to engage with that person around the smartphone usage is understanding why they're doing it, to just tell people that you shouldn't be on your phone without understanding the function that that serves for them, they're probably not going to listen.
Mm. Good advice as always. Dr. Karen, thank you so much indeed for your time. Enjoy the rest of your days. And again, thanks very much indeed for joining us live on the line.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Karen Fiona Hillier, psychologist, originally from Australia, now practicing here in the UAE with industry experience in forensic, clinical and organisational psychology. If you'd like to find out more from Dr. Karen, then do get in touch with Dr. Karen Fiona Hillier at the LifeWorks Foundation.
Point 8.
Back to mobile phones and our main talker through to the second hour of the show. But obviously, this is the agenda. We like to keep abreast of some of the breaking news stories over the last 24 hours, and none more so than one that has rocked the fashion world last night.
Fashion designer Kate Spade was found dead inside her New York City apartment this morning. The 55-year-old became an icon after building a fashion empire on her handbag designs. NBC's Stephanie Gosk is following this story, and I know details at this point are scant, but what do we know, Steph?
Well, Craig, at this moment, law enforcement officials are telling us that the call came in this morning.
That's when the news broke last night over in America. The fashion world has been left reeling ever since then, as have my colleagues here in the studio as well. Shruti, our producer, what did Kate Spade mean to you?
You know, I bought a wallet from Kate Spade 2 days ago. When I heard it last night, I was absolutely shocked. Obviously, there's no correlation to it. But just thinking about, you know, I was telling my friend about amazing customer service, and I think Kate Spade has one of the best customer services, because I had bought a handbag from them and it was scuffed within a week that I bought it. And I went back and I said, it's scuffed, I haven't used it. And they replaced it for me.
Wow.
No questions asked, nothing at all. And, you know, for me, that is good customer service, because if you're paying that much money, you might as well get something good out of it. So for me, I feel like it's a massive loss for the fashion industry. Of course, like the colors that Kate Spade has, I have never seen, you know, such bright greens and blues. And, you know, I think when I think colors in handbags, Kate Spade comes to mind.
Reese Witherspoon has tweeted in the last few hours, my heart and prayers goes out to Kate Spade and her family. What a wonderful, talented woman who will be dearly missed.
Yeah, it's really sad news. And actually, I weirdly bought a wallet for someone just last week as well as a gift from Kate Spade. She's got lovely things, and you know, she's got that recognizable distinctive logo which features the spades playing card symbol in reference to her name, but really bright colors, nice designs, and it's really sad. Basically, she opened her first store in 96 in New York and now has more than 300 branches. So yeah, it is very sad news.
Sad as well, 55, I mean, so young as well in terms of what she'd done. She was self-made as well. She, by all accounts, she was very down to earth as well, very understanding, had a lot of time for everybody, which makes it all the more worrying. But I suppose it also shows, you know, we're talking about mental health and mobile phone addiction and the impact it's having. This, again, is just yet more, you know, often we look at celebrities, don't we? We look at those successful in business and celebrities, and we go, how can things get so bad that you've plumbed yourself into such depths that life becomes too much in many ways? And I suppose that's the point. You know, people will ask, why, you know, what is it that caused this problem? We don't know the details at the moment. None of us do. The investigation is ongoing. It just seems to be that celebrities and those in success are not immune from the same problems that others have.
Not at all. I feel like they're more in the spotlight because they have to put on this persona of being everything's fine. You know, they're rich, they're famous. They have to keep up this appearance. And I feel like they have more pressure to be normal or, you know, happy. I feel like they can't really express what we can sort of express and say, I am sad, and, you know, find a way to deal with it.
Yeah.
And you never know what's going on behind the scenes, do you? You know, people are suffering and, you know, not necessarily sharing what they're suffering.
Your thoughts would be appreciated on this one. If you want to send a condolence or your thoughts of Kate Spade, have you bought in the past? Are you a fan of? If you'd like to share your thoughts on the sad passing of the fashion designer Kate Spade, then feel free to do so into the second hour of the show. You're listening to The Agenda here on Dubai I-103.8. Off to the news desk. We must go for the news at 11 o'clock. More after that.
Does your offshore bank account offer investments from here?
Swiss quote, yeah, it does.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.